What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. In today's episode, I'm going to explain why every time you diet, you make it more difficult and harder to lose weight the next time you diet, which is not a fun fact, but it is a fact. And I actually wrote about that this morning and got a reply from somebody who said, you should do a podcast episode about this. And I was like, cool, I'll do it today. So that's what happens. If you are on my email list and you want to hear something explained in more detail, you can literally get a same day episode done. And because this is the Wednesday podcast, which gets recorded on Mondays, if you are a POP client, you get to join live. So I've got some folks here with me live who can ask questions that I can get to at the end of the episode. But you got to be a POP insider to get that insider access, which is open to anybody. Anybody has the ability to join the best program in the world. It's just not everybody will. Everybody can get that level of access. Everybody can achieve their goals in the most efficient and sustainable way possible through our coaching program, but not everybody will. And that's okay. We reserve that for a special group who is willing to take that action step, and they get to reach their goals and get some cool additional benefits. Anyway, so before I get into all of the details, I'm going to talk about this from a physiological perspective and also from a psychological perspective as to why continuous dieting or previous dieting attempts make it more difficult in subsequent dieting attempts, why that all happens physiologically and then also psychologically. What's going on there? Why does it get more difficult with each passing diet? But before I do that, I got to announce a winner for our weekly giveaway. And every single week, if you leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you're eligible to win a free supplement of your choice from one of our sponsors. We've got Cured Nutrition, Organifi, Legion Athletics, and Hair XT, the newest addition to the sponsor lineup. And very excited about that one. Speaking of my hair, it is looking like a hot mess right now since Mel and I were just walking around outside in San Francisco, and it is cold, colder than I thought it would be out here, but also super windy. And my hair is not very, it doesn't do very well in the wind. But because I'm taking Hair XT, hopefully it'll grow thicker and fuller, because that's part of what that product does, which I've already been noticing some improvements. Anyway, this week, the winner of the supplement giveaway is Seattle Doll. Seattle Doll is the username. The review says, "Keeping it real" is the title of the review. And Seattle Doll wrote, "Thank you for literally getting in my head and speaking for me. Every time an F-bomb is dropped, I chuckle because my brain was already there. Your delivery is excellent. The fact that you don't edit out the brain farts really makes it feel like we're having an in-person conversation complete with imperfection. Your knowledge of material, research, and life experience is fantastic. Thank you for being in my ear while I do all the things." Thank you so much, Seattle Doll. I appreciate that very much. And yes, the brain farts are plentiful if you listen to this show. So it comes with the territory. I'm not very smart. You know, I barely graduated college, so the brain farts hit me very frequently. Anyway, all you have to do is email me, mike@peakoptimizationperformance.com. Let me know what product you want to try, and we will send it out to you totally free. It's yours totally free. So you get to pick from any one of our sponsors, and then we're at like 940, I think, total reviews on Apple Podcasts alone. So that 1,000 mark is well within reach. All you have to do is open up that podcast app on your phone, go to the search button, type in Mind Over Macros, click on the thumbnail, and then scroll down until you see the ratings and reviews. And then you just click on the review, write a review button, and submit, and you're eligible to win. So it's super simple, and I think it's a pretty cool prize because we have some amazing sponsors, and you get to pick whatever product you want, which is cool. Anyway, as always, if you're not subscribed to the show, please do that. Whatever platform you listen on, there's a follow button, a subscribe button, some kind of a button that lets you get notified when new episodes are released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, even when I'm traveling, even when I'm on the road, even when I'm sick, as I have been for the last two episodes, sounding like I was on death's door. It actually felt pretty horrible. But we're on the road to recovery. I'm probably about 80% now. So definitely better, not 100%, which is annoying, but hopefully soon. And get back home tomorrow and back in the normal routine, which will be nice. Anyway, all right, let's talk about dieting and why dieting sucks for future dieting results. So in this context, when I say dieting, I'm talking about the active pursuit of weight loss through calorie restriction. The word diet, we've given it a negative connotation, so I'm kind of adopting that lens for the purposes of this episode. The word diet is pretty neutral. It just means the foods that we eat and the drinks that we drink. But dieting has become associated with restriction, and that's the context that I'm using here. So when I say each dieting attempt makes the next dieting attempt more difficult when it comes to weight loss or fat loss, that's the context that I'm using. And I just want to make that clear, because you could make the argument that you are technically, quote unquote, on a diet when you're actually just eating at maintenance and you're just trying to live a healthy lifestyle. That would still fit the definition. But I'm talking about the definition of restriction with the intent of losing weight. So let's go through the physiological reasons why this happens, why it gets more difficult with each dieting attempt. And then we'll talk about the psychological. So the physiological, we can kind of break this up into three parts. The first part is going to be your, this theory known as body fat overshooting. So body fat overshooting theory is basically when you restrict calories and you go on a diet, you're disrupting homeostasis. Let's just make that very clear. It is not how your body wants to operate. Your body wants to operate in homeostasis. By restricting and lowering your calorie intake with the purpose of losing weight, you are intentionally disrupting homeostasis. Now, it's not inherently a bad thing. Usually it's the method that makes it a bad thing, and or the duration, the frequency, the extremity, the way that most diets are structured, it becomes a bad thing. So you're placing a lot of stress on your system. And normally, if you place stress on your system and you have the ability to recover from that stress, then it becomes a positive, like a positive adaptation, like strength training. You're imposing a stress on the body by lifting weights. Now, if you can recover, you get stronger, you build muscle, you improve your metabolism, all these wonderful things happen. But if it's done, you know, if it's overdone or if it's done in a chronic fashion, then that's when the negative adaptations kick in. So dieting is typically done in a chronic, longer, more extreme, more frequent style than just a short-term intervention, which is a huge mistake, but that's not the point. The point is that when you restrict and you lose weight, you set yourself up for future weight gain, because most people treat the diet as this, I'm going to do this extreme, you know, 1200 calorie plan, low carb plan, whatever it is, fasting, one meal a day. I'm going to stop eating sugar. I'm going to do all of these things, right? And most people treat that as, I can do anything for 30 days. I can do anything for 60 days. I can do anything for 90 days. Or maybe even it's like 6 months or a year. I've met individuals who have gone through programs like Optavia, where you're eating 1,000 calories or less, and they've done it for years, like have stayed on it through holidays, through birthdays, through Christmas, anniversaries, like, and they've stayed with their prepackaged less than 1,000 calorie meals for like years, multiple years. And so the way that that sets you up for regain is because your body treats that as starvation, as famine. There's not enough energy coming in, and it's been consistent and persistent. So at a certain point in time, your body, being the smart adaptive machine that it is, goes, wait a minute, if this is all the energy that we're getting we need to make this enough because it's not enough, but we need to make it enough. Basically, it would be like if your paycheck, let's say your cost of living was a certain amount and you were making enough to cover that, but then all of a sudden your paycheck got cut in half. So now your expenses significantly exceed what you're making. You would have to adapt accordingly. You would have to reduce your expenses. So that's what your body does. Your body reduces the expenses, which is how you exert energy to make up for the fact that your paycheck got cut in half because you cut in half when you were doing this diet. Okay, so your body processes that, makes the adjustment. The minute that you go back to eating quote unquote normal, again, another red flag. If you've ever said, I'm going to do this diet and then I'll go back to eating normal, that's a major red flag. It tells me it's not sustainable. It tells me it's not a lifestyle. It tells me that this is a recipe for disaster. But again, that's not really the point of this episode. So once you go back to quote unquote normal, you've now primed your body for weight regain because you have created a worse metabolism. And the way that your body compensates for that is it doesn't want to go back into famine, starvation mode or compensation mode. So there's this theory that your body will overshoot the amount of fat that you previously had to protect against that future famine. And the way that this shows up is you'll gain weight back plus interest, which happens to anywhere from 1/3 to 2/3, somewhere in that range, depending on the research. So anywhere from about 33% up to 67%, depending on the research, of people who regain weight will regain it plus interest after losing weight on a diet. So you lose the weight on the diet, your body compensates and adapts. Eventually, you go back to quote unquote normal. You regain the weight, and about 1/3 to 2/3 of people will hit that overshooting theory where your body is basically making you a little bit fatter because it doesn't want to go back to that place that you just were. Not only that, but you actually add new fat cells when you regain the weight very quickly. So if the weight regain happens quickly, you can add fat cells to your body, which is not a good thing because you can't get rid of them. Once they're there, they're there. And it's actually your fat cells are splitting. Like the technical process that's happening is they're not just creating, your body's not creating new fat cells out of thin air. The fat cells that you have are splitting into more fat cells, but you can't get rid of those fat cells because once they're there, they can't disappear. It's a one-way street, unfortunately. They can get smaller, so you can still lose weight. They can get smaller, but once they're there for good. So that's the first thing is now that you've gone through this overshooting and your body doesn't want to go back to where you were making less money, right? Like you cut your paycheck in half. It makes each subsequent dieting attempt a little bit more difficult. So that's the first part of it. The second part is hormonally. You could be doing damage hormonally when you go through an extreme restrictive dieting protocol, which of course makes any subsequent dieting attempt more difficult. What that might look like is because you're not getting enough energy in, because you're adding more stress to your system, you might see some cortisol dysfunction or you know, ups and downs. A lot of people will say like, oh, your cortisol goes through the roof. Well, temporarily it might, but then you might actually have the opposite problem where you're not producing enough cortisol because you've overproduced it for so long. You might have some issues with insulin. You might have some issues with your hunger hormones. So some dysfunction there. You might have some issues with your thyroid, like myself. Through years of chronic dieting, I gave myself hypothyroidism, slower thyroid, slower metabolism, harder to lose weight. Basically, all of these things make weight loss more difficult in the future. Sex hormones is another one. So basically, when you go through these dieting attempts, if you're being too restrictive, if they're too extreme, if you're doing it too frequently, you are setting yourself up to make things more difficult in the future. So that's the second part of it. And the third part of it is also related to your metabolism, but it comes to down to muscle loss, which a lot of people ignore how valuable and how important that is. But it's like your body's currency. It's like gold to your body. Muscle mass is for not just for body composition, because yes, it makes you look better naked, whether you want to be toned, leaner, more fit, athletic, whatever the look is, typically it requires more muscle. So it's not just about how you look. It's also about your metabolism, because it improves your metabolism. It's also about hormone health, and it's also about longevity and your ability to stay healthy and overcome illnesses. Like people who have more muscle recover faster from surgery. They recover quicker from illnesses, things like that. So there's the health component, there's the longevity component, there's the body composition, the metabolic. Like muscle is one of those things that we know that it's important, but I still think that it's underrated and undervalued. So one of the major things about programs like Optavia or like cutting, you know, doing keto or even doing something like Ozempic or any like, you know, semaglutide GLP-1 injection, the biggest risk when I see research on these drugs is that muscle loss is so prevalent, and knowing how important that is to your longevity and your health and your metabolism and your body composition, that's the biggest concern for me. And I have several concerns. I've done a number of episodes on that, so I'm not going to like beat a dead horse here, but your muscle is this like gold currency that you need and should protect at all costs, and not just be willing to give it up so quickly. Because it's the gift that keeps on giving. It has anti-inflammatory properties. Like there's so many things for hormone health and metabolic health and longevity and just being able to do things physically. So when you are going into a calorie deficit and it's an extreme deficit, it is possible that your body gets rid of muscle because, again, it has to compensate somehow. If your paycheck gets reduced by 50%, your cost of living is now exceeding what you're making, your body has to compensate for that gap. And muscle costs a lot to maintain. So it's like one of the biggest expenses. It's burning a lot of calories just to maintain, which is a good thing when you want to be able to eat more and perform and stay leaner. But when you are not doing things with muscle in mind, meaning you're just so focused on the reduction part of the equation, it's very likely that in an extreme deficit, your body's going to get rid of muscle mass. And when you have less muscle, you have a lower metabolic rate, you have less margin for error, you also have the propensity to get sick more often, to be sick for longer. There's so many negative side effects of that that make dieting in the future way more difficult. And let's also consider that it can be really demoralizing when you see the scale going down, but your body composition's not improving. And you can actually get statistically fatter when the scale goes down. If you're losing muscle mass, you can do a body fat test, an in-body scan, a DEXA scan, whatever. Even though they're not 100% accurate, but they show consistent data, so it doesn't matter if the number itself is accurate. What matters is the data point and how you're testing. So if you do an in-body scan and you test under the same conditions, at least it's showing you a consistent data point. But you could do an in-body scan that shows 20% body fat, and then you could lose 10 pounds and end up being 23% body fat. So you actually statistically got fatter even though the scale went down. That is the cost of one of the costs of losing muscle, because you're the percent of your body that is body fat has gotten greater because you lost that muscle. And again, one of the ways that we maintain that is we don't go into a huge deficit, and we don't do it too frequently. We don't do it too extremely, and we don't undereat protein. We don't undereat in general too often. And we make sure that obviously we're using our muscles by doing some form of resistance training. So those are the main ways that your body compensates. Now, there's also a theory that you have this metabolic memory, so that because you went through this quote unquote famine, right? And that's just how your body registers these chronic stressors from dietary stress. Because there's a lack of energy coming in, the way that we evolved, the main source of chronic stress hundreds of years ago was famine and really nothing else. So the same adaptive mechanisms kick in as if it were a famine anytime you're under chronic stress. So there's this theory that you have kind of this metabolic memory that after you survive and your body, you know, maybe you regained weight, maybe you had this overshooting where you regained weight plus interest, the next time that you go into that same deficit, there is a theory that your metabolism remembers and it kicks those adaptive properties kick in quicker because it doesn't want to go back to that place. It doesn't want to go back to the 1,000 calorie place or the 800 calorie place or whatever it was. I can say anecdotally, I found that to be the case, but I can't say that this is 100% verified by research, like tightly controlled studies. I can say anecdotally that seems to be the case. There seems to be a quicker adaptive response the more that somebody has dieted and gone through that process. And that can also be another reason why sometimes you feel like, oh, well, I used to just, you know, cut carbs and I would drop weight very quickly and now it's not working anymore. That can be another reason why. Anyway, the real issue that I have is what it does, what dieting in this way, in this context of dieting, we're talking about intentional restriction. We're talking about, you know, going very low calorie, extreme restriction, a bunch of food rules, things that are off limits, and just being very intentional about restricting yourself with the objective of losing weight. I want to take a brief pause in this episode to tell you about Organifi. You should already know about Organifi if you listen to the show, but I'm going to keep reminding you until it makes sense, until you have that light bulb moment and you say, oh, Mike has been right this entire time. I should be incorporating Organifi into my daily supplement routine. If you are looking for which products to take, I can give you all the recommendations. You start your morning with Organifi Green Juice, Crisp Apple. Great way to start your day. You end your day with Organifi Gold Juice, chocolate flavor, because it's delicious. Just warm up some almond milk, put the gold chocolate in there, zhuzh it up real good, and maybe add some whipped topping on there if that's your thing. But that's absolute perfection to end the day. Then, if you want a little boost to your performance, energy, focus, go with the Shilajit gummies. I take them before workouts or really just every day because they're so good for you. Powerhouse adaptogen Shilajit that you should be taking. So you can do that. And then they just released a new product called Happy Drops, which are a mood enhancer, also gummies. I don't know about you, but I'm like, anything that comes in gummy form, sign me up. I'm here for it. It's like a little added layer of deliciousness throughout the day. I look forward to my gummies. And I think that every supplement company should start converting to all gummy form. That is, I'm going to start that movement. Anyway, you can also use their collagen, which is another great product that most people should be taking. And you get 20% off everything. 20% off all of Organifi's products just by going to Organifi.com/popfam and using the code popfam at checkout. That's P-O-P-F-A-M. So you go to Organifi, Organifi.com/popfam. Use the code popfam at checkout. Get 20% off all of Organifi's products. go check out the ones that I just mentioned, and then you can thank me later. Hopefully this was the light bulb moment that you needed to start incorporating Organifi into your daily supplement routine. And now let's get back to the episode. The main issue that I have is what it does to you mentally and psychologically. And there are a lot of layers to this, but I'm going to keep this as surface layer as possible because it's really straightforward. Every time you go through a diet and you regain the weight or you don't follow through, you build up proof that you're not going to follow through the next time. So it's these little micro commitments that you break to yourself that you say, I'm going to do this thing, and then you don't do the thing. And then that becomes the norm. So the next time you're like, all right, this is the time that I'm going to stay consistent, your brain doesn't believe you and you don't believe you because you've built up this entire body of evidence to say, I'm not going to do this for very long. And here's the problem. The kicker is that you often assume that it's because you don't have enough discipline or willpower. But the reality is it's just because you're playing the wrong game. You're trying to run a race that you don't want to win. Nobody wants to run a race to hell. Like you're playing the 1200 calorie, 1000 calorie Optavia keto game is running a race to hell. Nobody wants to win that race. So of course you're going to get off course. Of course you're going to get off track. Of course you're going to go back to quote unquote eating normally because it's miserable. Nobody wants to win that race. Nobody can win a race that they don't want to be running in the first place. You think that that's what you have to do, but it's not true. However, because you think that's what you have to do, you end up breaking those commitments to yourself. And it's not your fault. It's not a lack of discipline. It's not a lack of willpower. You're just playing the wrong game. However, that evidence keeps mounting. So then let's say you're like, you know what? I am tired of the bullshit. I am tired of doing it this way. I want something that is sustainable. I want something that is a true lifestyle. Like I am ready to make this change legitimately. No more of this. What can I do for 30 days, 90 days? I am ready to change my behaviors and habits to be healthy for life. So you start with that mindset, but your brain remembers all the times that you said you were going to do something and then you didn't follow through. So you don't really believe it, even though you know that you want it and you know that's what you need to do. You've got this whole body of evidence to suggest that you won't actually follow through. That's what it does mentally and psychologically. And the only way to reverse that is to override the body of evidence with new evidence, right? So it's like you've got hundreds of votes in this direction, to use the Atomic Habit quote or reference. The Atomic Habit reference is, you know, when you make these decisions, you're casting a vote in one way or the other. So you have to start casting votes in the right direction, which would be, I make a small commitment and I follow through. And the key is a small commitment, not I'm going to do this complete. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to do this, 0 to 100 thing, but a small commitment, like I'm going to work out 2 times this week. And then you check those boxes. Now you've got evidence that you're going to follow through. I'm going to wake up and drink my water first thing in the morning. Now you've got, confirmation after you drink your water that you're going to follow through. And it's these little tiny micro commitments that add up new evidence to suggest that you will follow through. But the thing is, you have to be playing the right game. So that's what this all comes back to. Like all roads lead back to the fact that if you want this for life, you have to truly approach it that way. You have, like, it's so cliche. People will say, like, I really want to make this a lifestyle. But then they'll tell me how they're never going to eat sugar again. Like, is that really the lifestyle? Is that really the lifestyle? Well, no, I want to do this forever. I'm going to, never eat sugar again. I'm going to like meticulously track every single calorie that I eat for the rest of my life. Like, no, you're not. Let's just be honest about what it actually takes. It's the habits and behaviors. And yeah, there's some sacrifices that come along with that. You have to be willing to sacrifice the things that are getting in the way. There was a quote that I read that said something like, if you don't make sacrifices for what you want becomes the sacrifice. So let me say that again. I think I got that right. If you don't make sacrifices for what you want becomes the sacrifice. So yes, there are certain things that you will have to give up. Maybe it's the, you know, nightly wine or going out to dinner so frequently or whatever. There are absolutely, when you truly say, I want to make this a lifestyle to support the goals that I have for myself, there are sacrifices that you need to make. But if you're still treating this as a short-term intervention, like I have to lose this weight in this amount of time, dead giveaway, it's not going to work. Timeline is a dead giveaway that it's not a lifestyle. I have to lose 20 pounds in the next 3 to 6 months. Why? Why are we putting a timeline on it? It's not a lifestyle. If you're putting a timeline on it, it's not a lifestyle. Immediate red flag. Or like, I'm never going to do this thing again. I'm never going to eat sugar again. I'm never going to whatever. Those food rules and restrictions. Now, it's okay to have guardrails. It's okay to have bumpers, right? Like we're bowling. We got bumpers on the lanes just to keep you in the lane. But to say, I'm never going to do this thing again is probably unlikely unless there's some like you're celiac and you say, I'm never going to have gluten again. That's different. Hopefully you understand the difference there. But it's like, if we're putting these temporary things on our plate to say, I'm never going to eat carbs again. I'm never going to eat sugar again. I'm never going to stop tracking macros. I'm never, whatever. It's a red flag. It's a red flag. So the bottom line is the way that we solve for all of this is we stop playing, running the race that we don't actually want to win. We stop running the miserable race that we don't want to win. We have to truly understand what a lifestyle looks like. Here's another one. Another red flag. Oh, well, I really want to make this change, but I've got a vacation in 2 months. So I'll just wait till after that. Like, how is it a lifestyle? If you can't live life while making the change, how are you approaching this like a lifestyle? That's being hypocritical. Or like, now's not a good time to start. I didn't know that there was a good time for your lifestyle. Like, if you say you want the lifestyle change, but you still believe that there's a good time to start, that's in direct opposition, right? There's all these little subtleties that we say to ourselves so frequently that just it keeps you in that perpetual cycle of then being like, all right, well, I have to have everything perfect. I have to be, on point all the time. I have to restrict myself. I have to lose this weight in X amount of days. I have to. No, that's how you keep running the miserable race and spinning your wheels and then making each subsequent attempt more difficult than the one before it. Or you give up all of that and you actually start playing the long game, the forever game, the sustainable game, because you know that that's the only game that you can actually win. Because the name of that game is just to keep playing it. That's it. That's what this is all about. We don't have to wait for the right time. If you're looking at a vacation, great. You're going to enjoy your vacation. That's part of the plan. It is a subtle but important mindset shift that gets you out of the rat race and gets you into the forever plan. And that's how it's done. But yes, you got to be willing to make sacrifices. And yes, the actual like goal that you set for yourself, which is really just a benchmark. It's not the finish line. It's just a benchmark. But whatever it is in your head, 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, whatever that benchmark is in your head, it'll take however long it takes. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because if you do this in a way that creates sustainable change, behavior change, habit change, it'll happen. However, it'll happen sustainably. And then you'll recognize that that arbitrary number really wasn't that important to you. It was more about your transformation as a person as you went through that. And you just keep playing the game because you feel better, because you have more energy, because you have more muscle, because you know you're healthy, you're fit, you're setting a good example for the people around you. Like all the things that you didn't really consider, but then that becomes the driving force behind why you keep doing it. I could keep going on this, you know, things like motivation. I'm not really motivated right now. All that is bullshit. It's all lies. It's things that we tell ourselves so that we just don't do the thing, right? It's procrastination. It's mental masturbation. It's all bullshit. We just tell ourselves these things, the vacation, the timing, the motivate, all this stuff is just, it keeps you in a protective mode so you can stay in your comfort zone and not make the real change. Because the real change isn't easy. It isn't easy. Because it is forever. And that's a long time. And we like the instant gratification. It's hard to imagine something where there's no concrete finish line. It's just that we keep going and we just keep doing this because we know it's valuable. But that's what this is. And you can avoid it. But if you do avoid it, you're likely going to continue to make things harder and harder on yourself year after year after year. So at any point in time, the beauty is that you get to opt out of that miserable race that you don't want to be running. At any point in time, you can opt out of that and you can follow the path that will actually lead to your success. So hopefully that made sense. Any questions on the live feed here? Anybody on here live want to drop a question? And you can drop it in the chat. Try to do it quickly because I don't like any dead airtime. And you know that I don't edit anything on here. So if I sit here silently waiting for questions, then it's just going to be that way on the podcast. And I don't want that. The first question is not a question. It just says, you are awesome. And I appreciate that, Stacy. You know, I could make a defense to the contrary, but I'll just take the compliment. I appreciate that. Any questions? Going once, going twice, and done. All right. Well, if you guys do want to jump on the live feed, you got to be a POP client. If you want to be a POP client, then you have to be willing to play the long game. You have to be willing to do this forever. If you're willing to do that, then you can apply at neurotypetraining.com/apply. neurotypetraining.com/apply. That is the best way to do it. And I appreciate you guys, and I will talk to you next time.